We are met in the presence of God.
And we do not meet alone.
With the angels in highest heaven.
We gather to worship God.
With the saints of every age.
We gather to worship God.
With the church throughout the world.
We gather to worship God.
By children and babes at the breast.
God's holy name is praised.
With drums, sitars, and trumpets.
God's holy name is praised.
In barrios and basilicas.
God's holy name is praised.
And here with our hearts and our voices.
God's holy name is praised.
We are met in the presence of God.
Friends, here in this place, we never gather alone. We always are drawn into relationship with God and with one another. So let us celebrate our relationship with God and practice our relationship with one another by sharing the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Now share it with each other. So once again, brothers and sisters, I say to you, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be back here with you again. On behalf of the one who is our host and who is our guiding light, welcome to the First Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Here, we come with all our joys and all our burdens to listen for the whisper of our still-speaking God. Here we come bearing both our gifts and our crosses to meet our risen Lord and Savior we follow. Here we come to sing and pray, knowing the power of the Holy Spirit will lift our hopes and dreams. Know this, whatever your joys and burdens, however you see your gifts and cross, and whatever the tune in your heart or the prayers on your mind, you are welcome here. For you are the beloved child of God, made in God's very image, God's love song just waiting to be sung. It is for you that we have opened the doors this very morning. So welcome, and thank you for adding your gifts and your presence to our worship here this morning. We couldn't do it without you. I have a couple of announcements to make about our life together. If anyone else has an announcement to make, I would invite you to come forward at this time and stand by that microphone so that you might be ready to give yours. First of all, for those of you who are new to the church and new with us, you will notice there are pew cards in every single pew with a pretty little picture of the church on it. I would invite you to take it, to fill it out, give me as much information as you can, and put it in the offering plate as it comes by. I want to congratulate Tracy and the entire Stockbridge Festival Chorus for a beautiful and completely packed concert yesterday. It was fantastic. If you are thinking about joining this church and claiming this church as your church home, I would invite you to speak with me and then set time aside for our Connections class, which will be next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here at the church. Speaking of next week, I hope that you all might be here. I hope that you all might be here because I'm going to need you to make a promise to that little one that I love so much. Next week, we will baptize Jake into the life of the church. And in our tradition, a baptism is not one that involves just the family. It involves the entire congregation making promises to that beautiful little boy. And I hope that you might be here to be a part. Rick.
Hi, I'm Rick Floyd, and I have an announcement to make about the men's study group. As some of you know, Max Stackhouse started a group at the beginning of the year, and we've been meeting every other week on Wednesday mornings. And we're resuming for May and June, 4 meetings. We're going to be talking about contemporary social issues in the light of our Christian faith. And so we'll start this coming Wednesday. And the topic is income inequality. We'll be meeting at 6 Depot Street, the cafe there. You can come and have a coffee or breakfast or both, and enjoy the company of some other men and good conversation. Starts 8:30. Should be done by 10. You're all welcome. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Jack Brown. I'm chair of the music committee. And always a lot of music going on in this wonderful building. We have a series known as Music on Main, which started about a year or two ago. And this is the fourth and final concert this coming Saturday at 3 o'clock. It's an unusual program. It is two different a cappella groups. One of them is known as Strike of Chord, and it's a way to get to know a different facet of Kathy's life. She's the director and arranger of this group of people, including her husband, Monk. And I've heard them before, and they're really wonderful. It's a high-energy sort of doo-wop, funk, gospel, blues, pop thing. You'll enjoy that. And just to add some adult seriousness to that program, I'm bringing my early music renaissance group from Simon's Rock College down the street. And they'll be singing a lot of very interesting, beautiful Renaissance music. So we're going to have the full gamut. So that's a benefit for our wonderful music program. And I'll do a shameless plug this afternoon here at 3 o'clock. My Berkshire Lyric is doing its Young Singers Concert, which features three prize-winning high school kids from around the county, one from Vermont. They will be singing, as well as our 35-voice children's chorus. So that's here also at 3. So thank you.
Friends, there never has been a moment quite like this one. It is a moment made for the worship of God. Let us open our hearts to hear the word as told by the Apostle Luke.
Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke and is set in the days immediately following Jesus' resurrection, before Jesus had yet appeared to the disciples. Now on that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you are walking along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and they did not find any body there. They came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of an angel who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow your hearts to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was walking to us in the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 of their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. "This is the good news for today. Let us rejoice and be glad in it."
Friends, please be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So every Thursday evening, they prepare for worship. Every Thursday evening, they go and they get that heavy, sturdy wooden table. And they take that table and they take it and they bring it out to the very middle of the Gordon Chapel and they sit it right in the middle of the room. And then they take chairs and they put those chairs in circles, in concentric circles, all of the chairs facing in to the center of the room and to that great table. Every Thursday night, they go into another closet where they find hundreds and hundreds of candles, and they bring them out and put them throughout that great room, all around the sides of the room and covering the table. So much candlelight that the light flickers against the stone pillars. So much candlelight that it bounces off the stained glass windows. Every Thursday night, they invite a jazz trio in to gather around the great grand piano. And once that jazz trio has warmed up, once they have tuned up, once they have gotten in sync, they throw open the doors. And as that candlelight and as that music drifts out into the street and into the square, the people from the street and the square, they drift in through those doors. Now, coming through those doors are the regulars, the people who come each and every week. Maybe they're drawn by that flickering light. Maybe they're drawn by the music. But if you ask them, what they will tell you is they are drawn by the table. They are drawn by the chance to share that meal each and every week. In addition to the regulars, there are flocks of tourists. Some of the tourists will tell you they're there because someone told them, if you ever happen to be in Boston on a Thursday night, you got to go to this service. You won't forget it. Others, if they're honest, will tell you they just really thought the building was really, really pretty. And so they're willing to trade an hour of worship for a chance at seeing beauty. And then finally, usually about 3 minutes until six when the service begins, is when the third group of people start coming in. Usually men. They are the people that live on that street. They are the people who sleep in that square. And they come in to worship too. Now, if you ask them, some of them will tell you that they know that after the worship service, there is a great fellowship hour with all kinds of food. And they're hungry. There are others who will tell you that they just want an hour. An hour away from the noise of the square. An hour away from the cold. Just an hour of peace. And then there are those who come in head down, bearing the weight of their lives, shuffling in, having no idea where they're going or why they ended up there, but there they come. It is always exactly halfway through the worship that the attention turns to the center of the room, to the table that is here. And on one particular Thursday, as the pastor for that day, a man by the name of Don, as he approached the table to stand behind it, to tell the story again, to bless the elements, and to feed the people, a young man from the back corner raised his face and raised his voice in challenge. He said, Wait a minute. Didn't we just do that last week? Well, to his credit, Don paused. Now, I'm not sure if it was to honor the question that had come his way and make sure he knew it was being honored, or whether Don was frantically trying to figure out how it is that you respond to that. But he looked at the man, and he said, I'm going to ask you a question. Has your life changed in this last week? Has anything happened to you this week that has changed your life? And the man paused. I don't know if he was trying to honor Don's question or if he was trying to figure out if he was really expected to answer. But answer he did. Not with his voice, but with his body. His head, almost against his will, started to nod. Once. Twice. And the third time, his head went down, but it never came up because the weight of the world and all that had happened to him was resting on his shoulders. Don didn't miss a beat. He looked back there and he said, mine too. Mine too. And that man raised his face, he raised his eyes, and he looked at Don. And Don said, you know what? In fact, the whole world has changed. That is why we do this again, because your life has changed, my life has changed, and the whole world has changed. And then Don went back behind the table and he told that familiar story. He offered that familiar blessing and he invited all to come forward, to come down that center aisle and to receive these things by way of intinction, to come and be fed. And you know what? On that night, I can promise you that what the UCC, the United Church of Christ, claims happens around this table actually did. The United Church of Christ would make this claim around this table, that when we come to this table, we banish our isolation. We get rid of our loneliness. We gather as one body around this table. What the UCC would claim happens around this table is that when we come to this table in the midst of breaking bread, we really and truly do encounter Jesus. What the United Church of Christ would claim happens at this table when we come to it is that we are fed and nourished and we find new life and we find new direction to go out there and face the world again. We do this again and again and again because our lives change and so does the world. There is no question that the life of Cleopas had changed. For him and his fellow disciple, they were going home. They were leaving Jerusalem and the other disciples behind. They were shuffling along with their head down, bearing the burdens of what had happened that last week. Luke tells us that they were talking with each other and trying to figure out. They were trying to figure out some way of understanding how the man they followed, how the man they gave their heart to, how the man that they gave 3 years of ministry to, had been arrested and killed. Sure, they told Jesus that the women astounded them, right? They said, the women astounded us and told us that Jesus was actually alive. But friends, they were walking sad. They were walking with their head down. They were shuffling away from their calling as disciples, not toward it. It had been less than a week since they ate around this table with Jesus, and already the changes in their life and the changes in their world had them lost and alone. And it wasn't until Jesus brought them around this table and broke the bread that Cleopas and the other disciple realized who he was and what that burning in their heart was all about. And then did you notice? In that very hour, the story goes, they jumped up, they remembered who they were and to whom they belonged, and they went back to Jerusalem to find the other disciples. That is why we come to this table. I don't know about you, but I got to imagine since the last month when we got together around this table, something has happened in your life that has changed for you, and I know that the world is a changed place. It could be something big. It could be something small. You may have way too much work to do. You may be overwhelmed with work, multiple jobs, trying to figure out how to make ends meet, and you can't see an end to it, or you don't have enough work, and you're not sure how it's all going to work out. Maybe there's a loved one that you lost, and you have a hole in your heart so big you can't imagine how it possibly could get filled. Maybe that lump that you found, you have no idea what it is, but it scares you to death. Maybe you picked up the newspaper and found something in there that made your heart sink. I don't know what has changed for you in the last month, but friends, the reason we gather around this table again is so that we become one body, so that we meet the risen Christ, and just as importantly, we find a renewed calling in our lives. There are two parts of this story that I want you to think about as you come to this table today. First is this. Did you notice that Jesus was prepared to move on? He was prepared to leave those disciples before they ever got into the house and before they ever broke bread. It took their invitation to get Jesus to stay with them. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you on behalf of Jesus to this table. I'm going to do what we do every week and say, you are invited, all of you are invited to come to this table. And at the risk of sounding fundamentalist or evangelical or anything else you can think of, I need you to do something today. I want you to think about their experience and invite Jesus into your heart, whatever that means and whatever it looks like. It wasn't until they invited Jesus to stay that he stayed. And so today, before you come to take this meal, invite Jesus into your heart that Jesus might stay. The second is this. You'll notice that when they got back to Jerusalem, did you notice? They were all excited. They were all sharing their stories with one another. We come to this table alone and as individuals. You each will have different stories about what burdens you bring and or what grace you find at this table. What this story tells us is that afterwards, share your stories with each other. And just as importantly, be open to the stories of others. You never know where you might find grace. Friends, I hear it all the time. People decide whether they're going to come on the first Sunday of the month because it's a communion Sunday. For some people, that's a good thing. For some people, I don't know. But here's why we do it again and again and again. Because your lives have changed. My life has changed. And the reality of our world has changed around us. So friends, come today. come and be fed. Come and find Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you may be seated. As we prepare to come to this table, let us open our lives and let go of any burdens that may keep us from being fully here with God and one another. Brothers and sisters, will you pray with me? Merciful God, we come before you knowing that you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. So here this morning, as we prepare to gather at the table of your Son, we bring before you the things that divide us from you and from one another. The ways we have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you. Hear the prayers of our hearts in the silence to come. Greet us in love, patience, and compassion. Merciful God, hear now our silent prayers. Sisters and brothers, hear these words of good news. In the life, in the death, and in the resurrection of Jesus, we are assured that there is nothing so terrible that God cannot forgive. No hurt so terrible that God cannot heal. God accepts, forgives, and sets us free. Friends, let that truth sink into your hearts that you are forgiven. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So now, friends, I invite you to come to this table as you are and as you might. Come knowing that you are all welcome, whether you believe a lot, a little, or have no idea what you believe, whether you are baptized or not, whether you are a saint or sinner, whether you even know why you are here or not, you are welcome to come to this table. So today, let us approach this table in a new and beautiful way. We're going to approach the table through traditional song in a contemporary setting. It's now that you will need your bulletins on page 3. Friends, I invite you to come and gather at this table and to enjoy the feast that has been laid before us. May God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, God of majesty and mercy, for the gift of creation, the bounty and beauty of this earth, and for the vision and promise of this very day, when sharing by all will mean scarcity for none. We remember the covenant you made with your people Israel. We give you thanks for all our ancestors in faith. We rejoice that you call us into covenant with you and with all people everywhere, and that you remain faithful to your covenant even when we are faithless. We rejoice on this day that you call us to this table to remember and to celebrate the gifts of Jesus Christ, born of Mary, our sister of faith. Great are you, O God, source of all we are and all we might yet be. You are worthy of the best we can offer. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of heaven and with the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your holy name. You are indeed holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came as the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Your word, O God, became flesh and lived among us full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. As you have sent your Son for our sake, that we might be redeemed and made right with you, we take these fruits of the field and of the vine in celebration and gratefulness for the redemption granted to us through Christ. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may reflect the light of the one who came to save. Together, as one, we proclaim the great mystery of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna. His disciples. let us sing the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, singing together.
In heaven.
Amen and amen. Friends, just in case you are sitting there wondering if this table really is for you, you need to remember this, that on the night that he was betrayed, gathered around this very table with him was one who would betray him, one who would deny him, and all of them would leave him in his hour of need. You need to remember that in that village of Emmaus, he sat at this table with two people who were sitting next to him and didn't even recognize him. If he will share this meal with people like them, surely he will share this meal with people like us. Here's how we're going to share this meal this morning. We're going to do it by the ancient practice of intinction. The deacons will dismiss you to come forward, starting on the fronts on the side, to go back, and then come up the center aisle. You'll receive a piece of bread, and then turn, there will be a cup on each side. Please take that bread and dip it in the cup and eat it right on the spot before returning to your seat. All of the bread is gluten-free. Every bit of that in the cup is non-alcoholic grape juice, that there might be no barrier between you and the very presence of Christ. Friends, this is the meal that is made for the people of God. And that's you. All is ready. So come now and eat. So this appears to be having a bit of an issue. Stand down. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, let us offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Holy and loving God, there are no words. There are no words to describe your love and your grace for us. We give you thanks for the meal of this table and for the fellowship of this congregation. May this meal and this congregation sustain us to answer the calling that you have placed before us on this day and every day. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, here at this church, following communion, it is a tradition that we offer our prayers of thanksgiving first with our lips and then with our lives. You are invited to come forward if you choose to bring either canned goods or offering for the food pantry. Today, you will notice that there is a table right here with a basket on it and a table on the other side with a basket on it as well. Please come forward and place any gifts or offerings you have for the food pantry there at those tables and in those baskets. Friends, let us pray with our lives. Having been fed, let us come together in a time of prayer, uniting our lives with one another in this room and with all people of faith everywhere. I bring you a special prayer petition this morning. Max Stackhouse has been hospitalized for the last week. It is related to some lower back pain that he has struggled with for many years, but it has gotten to the point where they are struggling to figure out exactly how to treat it in a way that he can stay alert and yet without pain. And so Jean has asked for your prayers. She has asked for your blessings. Given the circumstances, Max is not capable of talking on the phone right now, so she would ask that you not call, but instead send your prayers of love her way. And so let us keep Max and Jean and the family in our prayers this week as the doctors try to figure out how to help his back pain get better. And now let us join together in the unison prayer of the people, as printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. Loving God, in gratitude, deep gratitude for this moment, this meal, and these people, we give ourselves to you. We give you thanks for the joys and blessings of our life. We give you thanks for the return of spring, for the love of family, and for this community you have drawn us into. Give you thanks for our journey to this point and the path that lies ahead. We give over to you our fears and concerns. We ask you to provide healing and wholeness for those who are sick or broken. We ask you to grant wisdom to the leaders of this church, our town, this commonwealth, and our nation. God, we ask you to guide us in humility, hope, and optimism to create communities worthy of your name. Help us to leave this place as changed people. We have eaten the bread of life, and so we cannot remain the same. Ask much of us, expect much from us, enable much by us, and encourage many through us. We pray to you through the one who laid this table before us. Friends, the psalmist asks this question: what shall I return to the Lord for all the bounty God has bestowed upon me? The answer: I will give what I have promised in the presence of all God's people. Let us give to God the first fruits of our labors, our lives, and our love. The morning offering will now be given and received. With your blessing, that it and we might promote peace, love, hope, and beauty. And let us all say, brothers and sisters, before we go our separate ways to worship God with our lives, a couple of invitations I would place before you. First, I invite you to go through those open doors into the Jonathan Edwards room for good food and better fellowship. I invite you to come on back at 3 o'clock this afternoon for that concert. I invite you on Wednesday to come at 8:30 in the morning to Depot 6 to meet with Rick and the other guys and talk about the world. And finally, I invite you, no, maybe I beg you, to sing this last hymn, not as staid congregationalists, but to sing this last hymn with joy in your hearts. Let us close our worship with song. Do a pastor's heart good. Friends, go forth now, not to shuffle, but to run. Go forth now with your heads up and your hearts open. Go forth now in the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the joy of the Spirit to live and love in joy and thanksgiving, come what may. And let the whole church say, Amen.